guys did a great job. Thank you, guys. So in preparation for the word today that Kent's going to be preaching, it's on mercy. I'm going to read in Mark 5, if you want to follow along in your Bible, 1 through 20. Mark 5, 1 through 20. It's about mercy. They went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission. And the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending to the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. They were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you that you allow us to hear stories of amazement, stories of wonder, stories of mercy. Jesus, I thank you that we are walking miracles just like this man, that you've made us alive in you and called us to share stories of mercy. God, I pray that as I speak this morning that you would speak through me. Jesus, would you bring to mind the ways you're calling us to live out the mercy you've given us? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it is great to be with you. My name is Kent. I'm a pastor here at Grace, and I also help out with our youth group, which is a blast, more fun than I should be allowed to have every week. And I get to help out with our 8th grade boys group, and I've just been amazed to watch them grow. And this week we actually talked about mercy and justice, and it was very intriguing to process the reality that I was getting ready to speak this message on mercy this morning myself. And so not only that, but we came back this past weekend, we were getting ready to come home from a youth winter retreat. So thank you for those of you who were praying for us. We had a blast. There were 17 students and 5 of us leaders that went to Camp Orchard Hill. It's in Dallas, Pennsylvania, just outside of Scranton. Although some kids thought we might have been going to Texas for as long as they felt like they were in the car. We just had a blast, not only building good memories together and building bonds of friendship together, but it was just great to also process truth, because we talked about stories, that we have a story in our own lives. And this morning, I want to talk about the story of a man who was restored by Jesus. But as you've heard this story already, I want you to process this with new ears this morning, because I know I'd heard this story quite a few times growing up. So it gets to the point where I read this story again, and I kind of just gloss right over it. Like, oh yeah, I already know. There's this Jesus, he goes across the waters. There's this demon-possessed guy. Jesus restores him. He sends him off. I know the story. Done. But if we just slow down, if you and I just slow down this morning and process the radicalness of this story, it will bring wonder and amazement to our own lives. Because think about this. Think about this. We just heard the story. So Jesus gets in a boat. He gets in a boat. Knowing what he's going to do, goes across the sea. Again, he knows what he's going to do. He's going across the sea. This is out of his way in a lot of respects. He's going to a place that's not proper Israel, the Decapolis. These are not Israelites, not Jews. He's going to these people out of his way again. And he has a purpose and a plan in mind as he's doing this. And so he knows this man's going to come to him. He comes in front of him, falls down at his feet. Jesus knows he's demon-possessed. He comes and he's yelling out these things. This man's been running around cutting himself, screaming. I mean, he must have been a terror to the community. They tried to bind him, but it got to the point where they couldn't even bind this man in chains. They couldn't do anything to him. He's cutting himself, roaming around, running around. A lot of people must have known about him because you couldn't miss him. But Jesus, knowing this man, understanding that he's going out of his way for this man, heals him. Not only does he heal him, he casts these demons that are inside the man, this legion, many, in this herd of pigs that run off, fall in this water, drown. The people come out, they're terrified now, because not only is this man terrifying, but now there's this other person, he just drove out a bunch of pigs into the water. And so they're like, what is going on? It's amazing. So they plead with Jesus, please leave. Please, we can't handle this. Get out of here. Please, move on. And Jesus gets in the boat and he leaves. Before he leaves, he tells this man who wants to go with him, who's been restored in right mind. Again, he's gone from running around screaming, cutting himself, to being restored. He wants to go with Jesus. And what does Jesus tell him? Basically, he says, no, I don't want you to come with me. I have something else in mind for you. Go out and tell others the mercy that God has given you. And then Jesus goes off across the lake again. It's an amazing story. But if we're not slow to listen, we can miss out on the reality and the amazement and the wonder that our God not only has a plan, but our God also has a plan of mercy. Not just for this man, but for our lives as well. And so today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. That means it's the time when we process the reality that we are, as a church, we are for life that God has given us, and we're for life that God gives in general. And that, yeah, that does mean that we are pro-life in our understanding, that we are for all of life as the Bible interprets life, that life begins not just when someone is born, not just when someone can think, not just when someone has the ability to attribute something in life, but when two cells come together, we believe that they become life. Just like this man, who really had no meaning, no purpose at all. He was being bound up. But God had a plan for him, and God had a purpose for him. He had value. This man had value because he was a man. As Genesis 1 talks about, God made man in his likeness and his image. So just the fact that we are human beings is what gives us value and worth. So this man had value and worth just in being a man. And so we as Grace Church, we believe that when two cells come together, they become a person. And God begins to weave them together as Psalm 139 says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. But as I processed this story, I also have another story for you to share with you. And it's kind of a story of embarrassment for me. And don't worry, this isn't going to get too heavy for you. Just for me, this is just embarrassing. But so when I was in high school, I was a pro-life Christian. I was an advocate for pro-life, and I was probably a little overzealous. I don't know if you've met that overzealous person. And so, first of all, breathe. My wife and I have not had an abortion. You can just breathe. I don't want to overdo this. But I was an overzealous high school student, and so I used to wear this shirt. And I tell my wife this story, and she's like embarrassed about me. Like, you wore that shirt in your high school. You wore that shirt in general. It's embarrassing. So I wore this. I'm not even going to say what it said, but it was very in your face, shall we say, in my public high school. And so I was one of the leaders in my Christian club, and our high school was fairly large. We had about 250, 300 students in a class. So we were, you know, a decent-sized school. And so I was one of the Christian leaders. I was pretty much known in my school for being a Christian. It's probably about the only thing I could. Is that in sports? Academics? I tried. But I was known as a Christian. I used to carry my guitar around, and we used to play songs in our Christian club. But I also wore this shirt around. And so at one point, I walked into one of my classes. This was like, I don't know, like fifth or sixth period. So I'd already been wearing it for quite a while in the day. And I walk in, and this is my study hall class. My teacher looks at me and says, you need to turn that shirt inside out. Like, immediate. Like, oh no, you need to turn that shirt inside out. And I looked at her, and it's kind of arrogant, I gotta be honest with you. You're not like this, but I was like this. So I was like, no, I don't. I don't need to do that. And so she said, no, you need to turn inside out. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go talk to the principal because I know I don't need to turn this shirt inside out. So I go down to the principal's office. And I kind of knew the principal. He was a Christian, a good guy. And so I walk into his office. I'm like, hey, teacher's saying I need to turn this shirt inside out. I know that I don't need to turn this shirt inside out. And the principal's like, Kent, you're right. You don't need to turn this shirt inside out. You can wear that shirt. But, is that the loving thing to do? And my heart kind of sank. It just sank. And I thought to myself, you're a fool. You're a fool. You are a Christian. People know you're a Christian. And you're walking around putting people in their face saying, if you've committed an abortion, if you're pro-life, you're basically the scum of the earth. So I went back to my locker. I got my jacket, put my jacket on, and went back to the class and told my teacher. I said, so I am allowed to wear the shirt, because, again, I was a little arrogant, to be honest. High school student, you never were like that in high school. So I told my teacher, you know, I am allowed to wear the shirt, but out of respect for you, I want to wear this shirt, or wear this jacket. And so, as I've thought back on that experience and on that moment, it's reminded me, even though sometimes I know what is right, how am I communicating truth to the world? How are you communicating truth to the world today? Because I was not being very merciful. And so at Grace Church, even though I've said we're pro-life, we also recognize the crazy thing is that God's grace transcends everything. And abortion is not even the worst thing in the world. All sin offends Jesus. And so there may be somebody in this room that has had an abortion. And I don't know who you are, if that is you. I just want to encourage you. I believe God's grace transcends that. Amen? God's grace transcends all sin. And so as we're talking about taking grace beyond the walls, let's be reminded, we want to minister, we want to reach out to people that may have had an abortion, may have murdered somebody, may have committed a sin that we think is vile. But I believe God's grace transcends all sin, just like this man this morning. And so this morning, as we're talking through and just processing this truth for just a few more minutes, I want to encourage you this morning, would you reflect on the reality that you and I are not all that different than the man who was demon-possessed? We're not all that different. Yeah, we create this hierarchy of sins often, I think, in our mind. We think about people that, you know, they're beyond salvation. Because boy, I can only imagine what that community must have thought of this man who was demon-possessed. Because how does the story start? The story starts off like this. starts off by talking about this man. He's been, verse 5, night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. That's who this man was. And yet Jesus, as I said, he's gone across the sea. I mean, this is out of his way. He's gone across the sea to this man. This man comes, he runs up to him. Jesus isn't scared of him. Jesus isn't fearful of him. Jesus is God. And so he meets this man right where he's at, and this man falls down. He's demon-possessed. He's yelling out these things. There's nothing inviting about this man at all. Nothing inviting about this man. And so verse 6, when Jesus saw him from a distance, he ran and fell at his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." So then we have the dialogue between Jesus and this man, and the demon-possessed man. It says, then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. And then, oh guys, I hit the wrong button. If we can get to the next slide. So Jesus then sends the demon-possessed, the demons, out of the man, into the pigs, as we know the story says. Jesus, so he's healed the man. The man's been restored. He's in right mind. And then people come, and they see him, and they tell Jesus to leave. But I want to remind you, again, as I've said, this man has nothing to offer. This man has nothing to offer. In some ways, some would say he's better off dead. Because there's nothing there. I mean, they're chaining him up. They're trying everything they can to suppress this man. But Jesus sees him. And the reason we know this, and I got to be honest with you, I read through this so fast that I miss this. The reason we can understand how amazing the story is because it gets to the end. The very last verses 18 to 20, the last few verses. And Jesus, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Begged. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." Again, when I've thought about this, I've often thought about the demons. And thought, well, this is just the demons. God's just taking care of the demons. He's not taking care of the man. He's taking care of the demons. But Jesus is taking care of the man. He's taking care of this person. This individual. He says, "Go home and tell them how much God has done for you. For you. And how he's had mercy on you." And so, again, that reminds me of myself. Because I often will think of my own brokenness and think that it's not offensive to God. My brokenness is not an offense to God. I'm just kind of bad. But if we look at the story of this man, we recognize, no, our sin blocks us from relationship with Jesus. It blocks us. Just like this man had no hope, we too have no hope apart from Jesus. Because our sin separates us from the ability to be in relationship with him. But in the same way, in the same truth, we can look to the reality that Jesus has the power to rescue anyone. Anyone. So I don't know where your mind goes. Maybe you're better than me. I know I can think of a few people that I can think of and go, "God, there's no way you could ever save that person. No, just no way. They are so far gone." But yet I think about the reality that that must have been how these people thought about this man. This man is so far gone. He's worth nothing. There's no way he could have any value. There's no way he could do anything good. But Jesus meets him in his brokenness and restores him completely. The man was in complete right mind. But in some ways, that's you and me. We've been restored. We've been made alive in Jesus. And we've been transformed through him. That is to say, God can have mercy on anyone. God can have compassion on anyone. Because God has had compassion on me. God has had mercy on me. God has had grace. God has had unmerited favor on me. In many respects, I'm just like that man. I come to Jesus, as Romans 5 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. When God met me, he met me as a broken man. He didn't meet me as someone who was just cleaning myself up. He didn't meet you as you were just cleaning yourself up. He met you in your brokenness, and he made you alive. And he made this man alive. He restored him. As I've reflected on these verses, it brings to mind 2 Corinthians 5:17. Verse you may know well. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. The old is gone. This man, the old self, was a man who had no hope. The old self had nothing to offer. But the new man had a new life, a restored life. And the same can be said for you and I if we put our trust in Jesus. That the old is gone, your past is gone. So if your past is messy, because my past is messy, the old is gone. The new creation is here. And the new creation is an amazing creation because the new creation is a freed creation. It's a creation that's no longer in bondage. No longer in bondage to sin. No longer depraved to the desires of my own heart. I can now serve the God of the universe. I can love people because God has freed me up and he's given me his own love that I can love others. It's amazing. He's done the same for you if you put your trust in Jesus. You are freed. So I want to ask you this morning, have you received your new identity? Have you received your new identity? Do you know who you are this morning? Do you know who you are this morning? Because if you put your trust in Jesus, you're alive. You're restored. You're loved. You've received mercy. You've received grace. You've received joy that comes outside of circumstances. Because it's a joy that exudes out of Christ. A joy that says, I am alive in you, Jesus. We receive a peace that transcends all understanding. It's why Danny Forte can sit in the hospital and look at us and encourage us. If you have received your new identity, I want to encourage you, are you living that identity out this morning? And if your story is messy, I want to encourage you, as I remind myself, God has called us also to share our stories. God's called you to share your story, just like he called this man. Jesus could have brought this man along, but he doesn't. He doesn't bring him along. He says, no. Instead, he says, don't come with me. Instead, go out and tell the people what I've done for you and how God has shown you mercy. And that can be the same for you and I this morning. Whatever your story is, whether it's that you had an abortion, that's okay. That is okay. Because you know what the enemy wants to tell you this morning? You're dirty. You're disgusting. How could God love you? How could you be of any value today? Or maybe there's something else in your life, in your past, and you're embarrassed about it. And you think, God, I can't be used with you. How could you use me? But Jesus tells us also, I believe this is true. Because of the Great Commission, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey all I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. Call us to go out and make disciples. Part of that is telling people our story, telling people how God has saved us. So my first encouragement to you, if you're processing, well, how do I share my story today? Recognize what is your story. What's your past? What's your past? Not to dwell on, but to be reminded of, so where did Jesus meet you? Where did Jesus meet you? And then be reminded of where Jesus is now taking you. That in many ways is our testimony. It's that this is who I was. This is where Jesus met me, and this is who I am. This is who I was. This is where Jesus met me. This is who I am. That's your testimony. That's your story. And in some ways, I got to be honest, the word God has met me has been a journey. It's been one of confession, one of coming back and forth, because I accepted Jesus when I was 5 years old. Yet who I was at five is not who I am now, praise God, for many reasons. But I was a worrier. I was somebody who lived in prison and bondage of my fears. Jesus walked with me through my fears. There were times where I would think, God, I'm of no use to you. There's no way I could be a follower of you, Jesus. There's no way that you would take me into heaven one day. There's no way I could be your son. I was living in a lot of ways in that bondage, in that lie that I couldn't be used. Yet when I was 20 years old, I can remember this, hearing the good news again, anew, in a new and fresh way. I heard the gospel, same gospel. And I remember saying, God, I don't care about my past anymore. I'm not going to hold on to that anymore. I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to worry anymore about who I am because I know whose I am. I'm yours, Jesus. I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe I'm not good enough on my own, but Jesus, I believe you paid for my sin in full on the cross. I believe that you paid for it in full, and I'm putting my trust in you, Jesus, and I'm moving forward in you. I'm not turning back. I'm going to you. 11 years ago, I did that. And that's in a lot of ways also where Jesus met me. That's a lot of my story. And I'm not perfect now, I'll tell you. I still sometimes struggle with fear. I still sometimes struggle with anxiety. My wife will tell you that. I struggle with that. But Jesus has become my peace, and Jesus has become my confidence. Jesus has restored me, I believe. I am rightfully his because he has paid for my sin. And so the mercy I share to you is not one of condemnation. Oh, yeah. There is a reality that if we don't put our trust in Jesus, he in a justly way, he's justified in condemning us because we deserve nothing. We deserve nothing on our own. But Jesus has paid for my sin in full. He's been so merciful to me. And though I deserve hell, he calls me his child. And I will spend the rest of my existence, not just life, but existence, in relationship with the God of the universe. That is my story. And so I encourage you this morning, are you reflecting out the mercy that God has given you? Are you reflecting out the mercy that God has given you? Just like this man. Think about it. Because this man, this ought to be amazing. He's walking around now in right mind. And people are probably looking over like, I mean, he probably doesn't even have to tell people what he's done, what God has done in a lot of ways, because they're looking and going, dude, that's the guy that used to cut himself. Run around screaming, naked. There he is. And he's just walking around going, yeah, that was me. That was me. Jesus had mercy on me. Jesus told me to go out and tell you he can have mercy on anyone. He had mercy on me, he got mercy on anyone. And so I think in many ways that's the same for us. Let's be taking God's grace beyond the walls by going out and sharing our stories of hope and of mercy. Let's go out and tell people, you know, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. God has given us life. He's our love. He's our peace. He's the one who makes us alive. So we're going to sing out one last song today. I'm going to invite the music team to come forward. And we sang this song a couple weeks ago, and you may know it. It's called Great Are You, Lord. But I just want us to respond this morning. And so actually I want to invite you, if you could stand up right now. I want us just to respond this morning. And so for some of you, I recognize that this message is a very hard message. Because I got to be honest, this is a hard message for me. It's a hard message for me. But it's also an amazing and great message for me because I need to be reminded that God can save anyone. He can even save me. And so today, if you've never put your trust in Jesus, if you've never done that, today could be the day that you are restored in relationship with him. I want to encourage you today, would you come and talk to me? And if that is too much, because I get that, that could be like a lot, because there are people here, and they see things. And so if that's too much for you, you can also do this thing called going on our website, and you can just send an email to our church. And what happens is, you can just say, hey, I would love to talk to Kent or I would love to talk to Wes, or I would love to talk to somebody about my story. And if you've never dealt with some certain sin, you're a follower of Jesus, but there's something that's weighing you down, it's heavy on your heart, you believe that God is condemning you, you can also do the same thing. You can go to the church website, you can send an email out, typically goes to Julie, and in confidence, Julie will send that off to us, to myself. You can ask to talk to me or Wes, and we would love to sit down and talk with you. It is our privilege to serve you in that way. Don't think you're a burden. Don't think we will judge you. It is my privilege to serve you in that way. So please, please, honestly, if you need to talk to somebody, shoot me an email. We will make space. We'll make time to meet with you at some point in the near future. But also, I just recognize that there are people in this room that just need to respond. You just need to sing. And so we're going to sing this song out. And it's a prayer in many ways. We're singing together, but it's just a prayer. And we're just singing, "You give life, you are love." God, as we sang earlier, we're just reminding ourselves, God is a good, good Father. We are loved by Him. You give love. You bring light into the darkness. You came into our dark world in Christmas, but you also came into our lives when we were dark in sin. And you brought out the light into our lives, and you're shining that out of us. You restore. You give hope to every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. So we're going to sing this out together. We're going to worship Him. We're going to close out our time. So would you sing with us together, and let's glorify God and encourage our hearts in this truth this morning.